One, two, three.
Hello, everybody, everywhere. Torchlight tells on the air. For a good place to pick and a great place to sing, come on in, let the old song ring.
The Torchlight Studio right here at Torchlight, Kentucky, located right off of U.S. Route 23, just out of Louisa, and ain't we having a time today, fellas?
Time for lives.
Big time, till John T. said big time. A big time was had by all. Well, we're here, and we just wanted to start and get a blog going, and it'll probably turn into a vlog at some time. I don't know when.
We're doing this old podcast for now.
Old podcast for now. Blog, podcast, I don't know what they are. I'm trying to learn this stuff as we go. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's good to be with you guys today.
Good to be with you too, Rick.
And I believe that everybody that's out there going to be listening are going to enjoy what we've got lined up for them coming up in this podcast.
I do too, and I'd like to take just a little bit of time to tell the folks that we're coming to you live from Torchlight Studios, and we are going to try our best to make these things a weekly event that you will look forward to and you'll find informational and entertaining.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know us, we'll take just a minute or two here to introduce the guys, and I'm going to start off by introducing that fellow that was doing the talking there. That is one of my best friends, and he's a great singer and a great songwriter and great guitarist, and he's pastor of Community Fellowship Church in Louisa, Kentucky, and he is a great man of God and good to know, and he's got a lot of stories. He worked for a long time as a deputy sheriff, and He's also been a prison guard and a traveling musician and a farmer, and grew up in East Kentucky all of his life. And he's going to have some great things to tell you, a lot of entertaining stories. And we're going to start off with just telling you that his name is Rick May.
Thank you, Don. Thank you very much, old friend. And I guess it's my turn, and I get to introduce our fellow that is pushing the buttons on all this stuff. I'm telling you, folks, you ought to see it. This is a sight to behold. To watch him, the way he works, it looks like he's in a big cockpit of a big airplane with all the bells and the whistles are going off and all the lights. But this guy is an amazing man, and one that I'm proud to call my friend. And my brother in the Lord, he's done so much in music. He's got a pedigree that goes from here to over yonder when it comes to bluegrass music and old time fiddling. And he just knows his stuff, and just a wonderful man of God. He's the moderator of the Burning Springs Association of the Primitive Baptist, and the moderator of his church there at Old Paint, and he's just a fine feller, and somebody I think you're all going to enjoy getting to know in this podcast. And that's my friend. I call him John T, but his name is John Tully Rigsby.
Thank you, Rick. That's mighty kind words. We appreciate that. And it's time to talk about this mandolin player and tenor singer and high lead singer. He's been around me about as long as I can remember, because he's just a little older than me, not much. But we used to play basketball some. He'd come over and on the old barnyard basketball court. And we won't tell why that's the name of it, but we know. And we're here to tell you a little bit about him. Have a lot of fun. He started out way back in the 80s playing with Dave Evans, and then he went on to play in the Bluegrass Cardinals, which is now a legendary band. And from there, he went on to go with J.D. Crow in the New South and really began to spark a name for himself, and people began to take notice of his high voice and mandolin playing. Stayed there a while and went on to the Lonesome River Band, and great things happened for him there, and so many bands he's worked with. He's a multi-talented guy and plays the fiddle and the dulcimer and the mandolins. He's prominent instrument and guitar, and he's just been around the block. He's one of the sought after tenor singers in the business, and now he's got his own band, Don Rigsby and the Fly By Nights, and we're proud to have him here at Torchlight Studio. He's the director here, so we're glad to have him with us aboard here, and without further ado, we'll proceed. Don Rigsby.
Don Rigsby.
Thank you, John. I really appreciate those kind words, and we'll try to keep all that stuff to a minimum as we go along, because these things will be archived, and we're hoping the folks will take a liking to it enough that they want to go back and hear everything. As we told you, we're coming to you from Torchlight Studios here in Louisa, Kentucky, and we are one of the enterprises for addiction recovery care, and the acronym for that is ARC, A-R-C. And this whole operation was conceived by the ideas and creative juices of Rick May and Tim Robinson. And Tim is the CEO of the company, and he has been a friend to all of us, and we're thrilled to get to be representing this company and addiction recovery care is, I don't think I'd be speaking out of turn to say it's probably the number one place for folks in the United States to come if they have a problem with substance abuse to get treatment and yes. and redemption and recovery in a meaningful way till they can restart their life and move forward with their real destiny.
Absolutely.
So we want to thank Tim and all of the team of ARC for their support and believing in our part of the little mission.
Here. So many people involved in this, Don. I mean, you wouldn't think that, you know, for a couple of guys to get together in a studio and put on a podcast that it would be that big a deal. But there's a lot of people involved in the operation of this.
Yes.
And getting it going. And we're so happy and
thrilled to death.
Absolutely.
And so we'll be telling you more stories about that. And one of the things we're going to be doing as these things progress is we're going to be having special guests to come in. And it's my hope that at some time in the near future, we'll get Tim to come and be our guest, and we'll talk to him and let him tell you a little bit more about the company. But the enterprise section of the company has everything from auto mechanics to theater to Three
welding
Sisters
shop.
To the welding shop. Three Sisters does wedding planning and event planning and catering. And they have a cafe downtown in Louisa called the Masterpiece Cafe where delicious food and a great atmosphere are available to you there. And like Rick said, we have a welding shop and a lawn care company and just all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things to explore within the enterprise section of this company. And parcel of that is the folks who are in recovery get to be involved in these enterprises as part of their recovery as internships. So we invite you to explore that, and we'll have more information about that as the days progress. We're going to, though, at this point, we're going to go ahead and maybe get another song here for you.
What about a good gospel song?
Seems like it's highly appropriate to me.
I think that'd be highly appropriate. This is one, an old song that I used to hear about every morning. My daddy drove school bus here in Lawrence County, and he would get up about 4 o'clock to get ready to run his bus route, and we had one of them old-time stereos, you know, the big wooden ones that would take 4 or 5 men to handle, get them if you had to move them. And daddy had some old bluegrass records, and this was one that he loved to hear the Stanley Brothers do, Shouting on the Hills of Glory.
There'll be shouting on the hills of glory, shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory. There'll be shouting on the hills of God. Now's the time to make your preparation. Now's the time to make your preparation. Jesus has made a place in heaven. There'll be shouting on the hills of God. Shouting on the hills of glory, shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory, there'll be shouting on the hills of God. Preparation. Now's the time to make your preparation. Jesus made a place in heaven. There'll be shouting on the hills of God. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory. There'll be shouting on the hills of God. Thank you. shouting on the hills, shouting on the hills. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory. There'll be shouting on the hills of God.
Shouting on the hills. Yes, sirree.
That'll be a wonderful day.
Yes, it will. Sure. I'll tell you what, you know, people used to be, back in the old days, I guess, maybe some of our audience can remember those kind of days. But I remember my grandma going to church, and she had a little old handkerchief that she'd take with her. Had lace all the way around it, and she'd take, that was her church-going handkerchief. And she would go, and man, she would just have the best time at church. It was a place to go and just lay all of your troubles down. It was a place to go. They had an old, what they called a mourner's bench back in them days, and you could go and just lay your burdens down there. And, of course, it was a time different in our country then than it is now. In the old days, people didn't have a whole lot of government assistance. They didn't have a whole lot of things that we have now.
But they had neighbors.
And they had neighbors, and they depended on their neighbors, but they depended on God more than they depended on anybody. And that, so it was shouting on the hills of glory was something that they looked forward to. It was a hard life back in those days. And that was something that always caught my attention when my grandma would, because she would sing that old song, and she'd wave that handkerchief, you know, and just talk about how good it was to feel that way, to be able to feel good.
I can remember the old women shouting the house down.
Yes, sir, shouting their hair down.
Yeah, and people this day and time seem to me like they're kind of a little bit shy about that.
Right.
And a little bit too concerned about what people think.
Exactly.
And I'd like to see a day again when people are not a bit scared to shout God's praises.
That's right. That's right.
Well, John, why don't you give us a little tale here? I mean, Rick mentioned some of your escapades.
Did I mention he was the fiddle player for the Stanleys, for Ralph Stanley and the Clinch Mountain Boys? Did I mention that?
You didn't. You mentioned that he had made a lot of territory, and he has. And that's one of those places. And I wanted him to tell us maybe about how he come to have his job as a Clinch Mountain Boy.
Yeah, that'd
with
be
Ralph
good.
Stanley.
Well, it's quite a story. It is, I had got out of high school, and I took a job over here in Grayson at a meat packing place. I was working there, then I went with the Bluegrass Strangers and a bluegrass band that runs sound. That was probably my first encounter of sound, learning how to run sound and sound equipment, getting serious with it. Had a good time there and learned a lot about that. And we played a lot of shows with Dr. Ralph and the Clinch Mountain Boys. And we was at Round Eyes Park.
Dayton, Ohio.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Above Dayton. And I had made an acquaintance with Ralph Stanley II, and of course I knew Art Stamper. He was playing fiddle then, and he put in a kind of a word for me there with the fiddle position, but I was glad that didn't happen at the time. And I was at Round Eyes Park, and I was walking. I was off shift on my sound job. We had shifts, you know. We'd run two or three bands, one would, or just depended on how big a festival it was for the schedule, how it would work, you know, how many bands was there, how many people you had to run sound for. There's about three of us did it. And I was off shift, thank the Lord. And I had been to the concession stand. I had a big old cheeseburger in one hand and a big sweet Pepsi in the other.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I was walking over by their bus, which was a his concession stand was, and Ralph had his bus parked out there, and he was a drilling Ralph too. He just took over the lead singing job, and he hollered at me to come over there, and I didn't know what he wanted. He had sung tenor on his How Mountain Girls Can Love. He'd sung tenor with Ralph too, you know, obviously on the first chorus of it, and he told me to sing tenor with him. So the next chorus come around, you know, and I sang tenor with Ralph too, and I thought he was just joking some way or another, and I kind of told him, I said, good to see y'all, I'll see you later. He said, no, don't come back, you know. He went, come back here.
Get back here.
So I stood there, and he said, I'll get him this time. You get him the next chorus. So I waited around, and I kind of observed how he done the tenor part on his chorus, and then come back around, I sang about all the notes he sang, close as I could, and then they ended it, and he said, boy, that's good tenor singing, and all of them was, yeah, that really sounded good, you know, blah, 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 and I went on my way, and they done their show. They was getting ready to go on stage, you know, and after that show, they invited me on the bus to sing some more, some trios, Lonesome River. And I got on there, and I kicked off Lonesome River, and lo and behold, I broke a mandolin string.
Of all times.
Of all times. He said, well, you play fiddle, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, go get your fiddle. So I ran over and got my fiddle, and we sang them old trios, and kind of got acquainted there, and I went about my way. I had to go run sound again for the next band. After that, you know, before he done his second show, it was just getting dark, and Ralph too come up to me and said, how would you like to go to work for Dad and us? I said, oh, you're kidding. He said, no. He said, he likes how you sing and stuff. And he said he wants you to come over and talk to him. Well, he was close there to the Bluegrass Strangers where they was set up, their record table. And I said, well, just tell him to go on his bus, and I'll come over and we'll talk. So he did, and he said, now, if you want the job, you be at my house Monday morning. I said, well, I'd have to give them guys a notice. But luckily, they didn't have no shows for about 2 weeks, so I didn't have to really work out a notice. And
how convenient.
And yeah. We went into, we played the Ryman Auditorium.
Your first official show was a Clinch Mountain Boy.
Yeah, the Ryman Auditorium with Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. And
trial by fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on cloud nine. That's what I've been waiting for, you know. And
there ain't no feeling like that in the world.
There'll never be another one to fire me up like that musically, because I was like almost 20 years old and 19-something and 19 years old and so many days, I guess, and so many months and days and all that. I won't figure that up, but it was a good time. I stayed a pretty good while with them. I stayed about 8.5 years altogether, and it was old Ralph. He kind of got me in the music business. I probably would have, you know, played with the Bluegrass Strangers in a little while, and I would have probably took a day job, but it wasn't meant to be. We thank the Lord for all of his, he paves our way, you
yes,
know.
Sir. Yes, sir.
He sets our bounds, and we can't go beyond them.
That's right. That's right. Thank God for it.
God is all good all the time.
Don, why don't you sing us a good one?
I was just thinking it might be a good time to do that, and I'm thinking I'm going to do one in the key of D. This is off script a little bit, because we were going to do one that we're not going to do because of capo issues. But we're going to sing one in the key of D, and this is another Stanley Brothers song, since we're in the way of doing those.
All right.
And we'll ask John to pick up the fiddle and play on this one. John is a masterful banjo and fiddle and mandolin player, and plays the stew out of a harmonica too.
And I'll tell you something, folks. He's a good engineer as I've ever sat in the sound room with. He can get the most out of your instrument. If you've got an instrument that'll put it out, he'll capture every bit of it. And your vocals, and I mean, he's just a great engineer, dude.
He really is, and we're in the business of recording people here. That's what we do, and we'll be offering a little bit more information about that in the coming days. There'll be links that's connected to this where you can go see our fee structure and see pictures and some of our accolades. We've already done some pretty important recordings here. There have been at least 2 number one bluegrass records recorded out of this studio.
Yes.
And we've got a few things that are in the can that we're working on still that are going to be monumental. And so just stay tuned, and maybe next week we'll have some more to tell you about all that. So we're going to start this song here, and this is one that Ralph and Carter used to sing, and it's... It's called Could You Love Me One More Time. Could you love me one more time? With a love as really as mine. We've waited so long, they say you've gone wrong. Have I lost you forever? I'll go down by the river. I'll ask you one last time. As the night breezes blow, I'll whisper so low. Could you love me one more time? Folks, that'll about do it for this installment on the Torchlight Tales for this week. Thanks for tuning in with us, and Rick, I had a ball being with you.
It's been a large time. Tully, that was a prettiest job on that piece right there that I've heard in a long time, since breakfast this morning.
Brand new fiddle.
That's a dandy. Yes, sir.
We'll see you next week.
1, 2, 3.